You are listening to our verse-by-verse Revelation MP3 series, a presentation of Victory in Grace.
We talk about the biggest sporting event is the Super Bowl. This one I've titled The Last Super Bowl. You know, we see all those things taking place in the book of Revelation. And we're talking right here the bowl judgments. Okay? We're going to do a whole chapter today. It's the shortest chapter in the book of Revelation. I couldn't divide it up. There's no way I could do it. But the bowl judgments, we kind of see where we're at right now. We're getting in, you know, we passed the middle, we passed the midpoint, and now there is no mercy left. Everyone that has taken the mark of the beast cannot be saved. You know, now you can be saved as long as there's breath. But after the middle, they take the mark of the beast, and they purposely are taking it because they want to go against God. They're going to know what they're doing. It's not going to be a matter, well, I didn't know what I was doing. No, they know that when they take the mark of the beast, that they're going against God. And we're seeing all these things coming to being. We're seeing our economies, our governments, everything. We're seeing stuff in Greece that I don't think I could have ever imagined. I've been to Athens and Corinth and different places in Greece, I don't know, 6-7 times. And I would have never dreamed it. Now, I knew they didn't like Americans. First time in my life I've ever gone to a restaurant and they would not serve me because I was an Anglo-American. Some of you had to put up with that in your younger days, and that's a horrible thing. I'm glad I got to get a taste of it, but they wouldn't serve us. And then I said, why don't you serve us? They said, because you're an Anglo-American. And I almost said something I shouldn't say, and I didn't say it, but it was there. And so I knew they didn't like us. But, boy, they've got a mess. You know, when you're living on welfare and you're living in the welfare state, and now all of a sudden they're going to cut all their benefits, and, you know, there's no money to have them, and they're protesting, burning up things. Isn't that about the stupidest thing? Did you ever see a child? He doesn't get what they want, and then they go destroy what they do have with a temper tantrum. And, you know, some people don't get it. They don't get it. They say, well, I wouldn't have my kid in your school because, you know, they're not happy. I got news for you. Our kids are happier than any kid you'll ever know. Those kids at Spring Lab were happier than anything you could ever do. Any drunken party would never match what those kids did out of Spring Lab. When they had to go out and sleep outside without a tent, you say, well, I wouldn't let my kid do it. Well, if they're in our school, they will. You parents did well. You freshman parents, you did well. I'm proud of you. Because when Pastor Paul said, what can we call? Well, you can call, but the other kids are going to ridicule your child. So y'all did good. That's good. I'm proud of you. Some of these people say, well, I can't get through. My kids are... I said, well, they're going to leave someday. Better do it in spurts. You better do it in spurts. Well, this is the last Super Bowl. I was studying this thing, and it came to me. I had about 3 or 4 titles. I kept changing them and changing them, changing them, and it finally hit me. I'm going to call it the last Super Bowl. The word vile means bowl. Well, let's look at Revelation 15:1. There's 8 verses, but I just took one verse for point one. I call it the wrath. And I saw another sign. Now, remember, there's 3 signs that were given in Revelation. This is the third. In heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Remember, Revelation is 7 sevens. 7. The great number of the book of Revelation. And what's the main purpose of this chapter of Revelation? It's to show us the vindication of God's holiness. See, God's holy. We can't comprehend it. You know, when we allow things in our lives, in our families, and things that are wrong. We say, well, that's the society we're living in. We're living in a new morality. Listen, friends, we're not living in a new morality. It's an old sin. Nothing has changed. Someone was telling me today, they said, you know, Pastor, you haven't changed. You might be marching alone, but you haven't changed. Well, we haven't changed. Why? Because the Word of God hadn't changed. And God's alive and He's well on planet Earth. And this is a vindication of His holiness. You know, remember the great Southern Baptist missionary, Bertha Smith? Remember we showed a film of her one night here in church, and it had a profound effect upon me. And Bertha Smith would say, she said, oh, the sinfulness of man and the holiness of God. The sinfulness of man and the holiness of God. Now, I don't know a better church in the world than this church. People work and give of themselves, but we still all have to keep growing. And we have to realize our sinfulness and God's holiness. As we look at this shortest book, the judgments now come quickly and they're stronger. The intensity is much, much, much greater. We can't comprehend it. We can't comprehend it with the oil leaking in the Gulf, and it's an awful tragedy. It's a terrible tragedy. And the BP president, I think President Obama and I are in total agreement, was shifting the blame to everybody and everything. And you're going, what is wrong with you? This is a tragedy. Why couldn't it be on a golf course? Why does it have to destroy fishing? If it was on a golf course, we could stop it. Am I against drilling? No. You know what is going to happen if we stop drilling? You know all the foreign countries can come drill off our shores if they're in international waters, and they're going to drill? I think we've got to put safeguards in. Nobody wants to see this ever happen again. But no, it's tragedy. Can you imagine, though? This is a minute little tragedy compared to what we're talking about in the book of Revelation. Wow. Wow. Next week I'm going to talk about oceans being turned to blood. Wow, what a thing. The tribulation is not for purifying the church. Why? When did the church leave? The church left right after the chapter 3 and chapter 4. You don't see the church. It's mentioned in the very last chapters again as we come back with Christ. The church is gone. Remember the 69th weeks of Daniel? And between the 69th and 70th week, a week of 7 years, was a gap. Remember it? And that gap's the church age. And when the church is taken out, we go from the 69th to 70th week, the Jewish people are back in the land. We have 7 years. This is when the false Christ comes, and the world accepts the false Christ when they rejected the true Christ. But we have Israel, and Israel finally in the middle of the tribulation realizes they look upon Him whom they pierced in Zechariah 12:10, and they look upon Christ whom they have pierced. And they get saved. And they go hide. And they're going to, we believe, hide in Petra. Only 15% of Petra's been excavated. We've been there many times. You've got to go to Petra. It's in Jordan. Oh, my goodness. When you see Petra, I remember my first time, I remember Dr. Mark Cameron, I think the greatest revelation teacher that ever existed on the face of the earth. Elton Partridge got all his radio broadcast of Revelation, and I have them, and I listen to them. I go, wow, that guy has so much depth. And he said to me, Jim, when you go to Petra, you're going to die of excitement. Man, I couldn't wait. I don't recommend riding a horse into Petra. It can get dangerous. Be careful. I rode a camel with my two granddaughters in Petra. Don't do that. Did you ever ride a camel? Thing takes off. You think a horse can run? You ought to try a camel. because they're not real smooth. You got the idea? I don't want any Costellos riding a camel. I saw a thing on Ace Hardware yesterday. It said, he who dies with the most toys is still dead. I love that, don't you? I saw that. I said, that's good, man. I wonder how it helps their business. The wrath of God. It marks the final judgment, the tribulation. God's patience is over. We have a God that's long-suffering. If God's here, why does he let us get away with so much? Because he's long-suffering. He's given us time after time after time. There'll be a day there's no more long-suffering. Once you take the mark of the beast, friends, you are eternally damned. Once you take it, and those that don't take it, they're going to have to hide out. They're going to have to get food in the black market. They're going to have to, you know, go to gardens or whatever. They're going to have to etch out a living. And it's not going to be easy because they can't do it with money. They can't do it with their credit card. They can't do it any other way. And this is what we're seeing with these judgments. Wow. This is a great sign. The new world order is just around the corner. We're just letting everything go. Nothing matters. Sin doesn't count. Nothing counts anymore. It's just around the corner. Our privacy, our security that we've known all of our lives. They know everything. I had some problems with a boat motor. I took it in. And they told me how many hours I've been on idle, how many hours I ran that motor on medium speed, and how many on full speed. They knew all that about my boat motor. That's kind of scary. They can probably take your car and tell you how fast you were going. I don't know if they can or not. But if they can do it with a boat motor, you think they could do it with a car motor, right? Does that scare you? You know, you go around with your cell phone, they can pinpoint you. You go through the toll booth, and they can tell what speed you went through it. Some of you get the hint? Our security, our privacy is passing each single day. Every single day, it's just leaving us. The great battle between Christ and the dragon, the Lamb and the dragon. The great battle that started in the book of Revelation. I will put enmity between her seed and thy seed. There's a battle going on. Satan thought he had him. Satan thought he had Christ on the cross. He thought he had him, but he rose again and proved that Satan didn't win. Satan's lost. Listen, friends, we can win if we just go to the blood of Christ. We can win if we'll go to the blood of Christ. Remember how perfect God's wrath is. It's not lashing out. He didn't lose his temper at the last moment. No, he's not joyful that people are going to be suffering. He's not happy about it. He's not happy that people are going to go through this. He's not happy that people are going to go to eternal hell forever and ever and ever and ever. The punishment has no end. Eternal quarantine. Did you ever live in a house that was quarantined? Did you? I haven't, but I've seen people. I've seen quarantines. I've seen signs that say you can't come in. This house is quarantined. This is an eternal quarantine. Final eternal destruction. All souls are going to live forever. Every person that's ever been born is going to live forever. There are no distinctions in God's categories of souls. Every soul is equal worth. Every soul in the Philippines or in India or in America. Every soul is equal. Every soul Christ died for. Listen, don't let anybody tell you that certain people were born to go to hell without a choice. Certain ones are born to go to heaven without a choice. If that were true, I'd never preach again because I'd just let the choices find themselves. Well, I wouldn't waste my time. No, we're doing it a real battle and everybody can be saved. Everybody watching today on WGN America or the local WGN or on Church Channel can be saved. There's nobody that can't be saved. The Lordship Salvationists, they're nothing but a five-point Calvinist, extreme Calvinist. And they believe, you know, if you were one of the elect, one of the head people in Lordship Salvation doesn't even know if he'd go to heaven until he dies. He hopes he'd be one of the elect. Isn't that sad? That God would be so cruel that God would say, you have no choice. I made you. I'm God. I can do what I want. Of course he's God and he can do what he wants. But any God that would die upon the cross decided that he wanted everybody to be saved. I'm not willing that any should perish is what he said. And he don't want anybody to perish. In Isaiah 53:10, one time we were doing a youth ministry in North Lake and Dr. Floyd was doing this and one of the kids said to him, he said, turn to Isaiah 53, and the kid said, is that Izzy Aha? I'll never forget it. Never forget it. That was a rough area you were working in. A lot of the gangsters' kids came out to hear him. It's the truth. Isaiah 63:3 talks about Christ. I have trodden the wide press alone. When he died alone. When we die, we'll die with him. And the people, there was none with me, and I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. I will stain all my raiment. Wow. Wow. Aren't you glad it's not the certain elect? But everybody, I don't believe in choice. I believe in life, don't you? But there is choice, even in aborting a baby, you have a choice. I don't like it. It's wrong. Several of you here have had one, and you know, and God's forgiven you. Praise God for that. Isn't that great? The blood of Christ. You're living in a time that you can go under the blood of Christ no matter what you've done. Some of our best people have had abortions, and they got forgiveness from God, and they've done incredible. Praise God for that. The word wrath. Here is the same we identified in chapter 14. Boiling or flaming anger. Paimos. A violent, passionate anger. His wrath is coming. I saw a bumper sticker from a Marine. He said, not as lean, not as mean, but still a Marine. Thought that was pretty honest. Pretty good. Pretty true. We see here the wonderful love of God in the midst of the divine wrath. God is love, but that love demands all sin be paid. You know, Jesus, you know, say, well, all they talk about now in our churches across America is the love of God. The love of God. They don't talk about the wrath of God. They don't want to talk about the wrath of God. But even when Jesus was here on the earth and he went in and he turned over the money changers' tables. Let's look at point two, filled with song. Revelation 15:2-4. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And then that have gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Wow, that's quite a verse, isn't it? Wow. Wow. There's going to be a day that all the mess is going to be straightened up. I heard someone say, our government could mess up a one-piece puzzle. The sea of glass. It's not a large ocean. It's the foundation of the throne. A laver, like Solomon's in his temple, a laver symbolizes the Word of God. In other words, it's kind of like the sea of glass. It's kind of representative of the Word of God. Look at Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Isn't that great? You want to be clean. Sometimes you say, man, I'm under depression. Did you ever wash it with the water of the Word? Did you ever feel like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it? And you get with the Word and the Word just kind of soothes you. Did you ever need to just take this book and put it next to your heart? Dominique's grandmother had to have open heart surgery. And I gave her a call. She answered. I said, "You're going to be fine." And then they didn't take her till the next day. Wouldn't that be awful if that was you? You're ready to go in for this major surgery. And they said, "Well, we just can't. We're just too busy. We'll take you tomorrow." That would be painful, wouldn't it? And then she kind of came to and she says, "Tell Dr. Scudder he didn't tell me I'd be so drowsy." Anyway, she's a brave lady. What a difference. The washing by the Word. And sometimes you got to just read the Word, hold it to your heart. I know. But it does help. Try it someday. God really does help you. I don't care who you are. I don't care. There's people. We've had more people call recently that were thinking of suicide. We really have. A lot of them. Some that got back from Iraq. And by the way, yesterday was Armed Forces Day. We want to remember Armed Forces, don't we? And they've gotten back. And boy, some of the stories. One guy was shot in the head. And he said, "I just didn't know how to live. And I turned on your WGN broadcasting. First time in my life, I understand I can go to heaven now." He said, "I've got peace. I still have the pain, but I've got peace." One of our high school boys are just going into high school. Josh Julian was answering phones today and led two to Christ. He's the happiest kid. He's walking around happy. That's the happiest thing you can do. You agree with me, Bob Steele? That's right. Jim Rennie and Bob Steele, man, they do an incredible job. They really do. The victory. When we learn to stand on the Word of God, on the sea of glass, so to speak, what a victory that will be. You know, I was reading a little article and it said that please don't dust for prints on the ceiling unless there's a trampoline in the room. But we're given all the prints. We're being told all the things that are happening. The sea of glass refers to the image that we discussed in chapters 4, 6. The crystal platform is the pavement where the heavenly throne sits. Remember, the streets are made of gold. All the things on this earth, and we sometimes don't have a clue how great heaven's going to be. The harps assembled, the music, the great joy in heaven. Two elements of water and fire, and we see that through the Bible. It said, "I baptize you with water. The one that comes after me," John the Baptist, says, "will baptize with fire." It's a symbol. It's a symbol. What's the symbol? Well, water represents usually the Holy Spirit. Fire represents the Holy Spirit. Washing of water by the Word. We have the symbol. The two elements. Cleansing rites. If you want to see more of that, just turn to Matthew, not now, but Matthew 3, 8 through 12. Just write that down. Look at it later, not now. Dear friends, there's nothing but glory for those of us who stand on the Word of God. We're going to be there for eternity. How would all of us feel if we knew that tonight would be the last night we'd have on this earth? Would the real Super Bowl matter? This is the real Super Bowl, by the way. Would it matter? I don't know. I don't think so. Let me tell you this. Stand on the Word of God. Get as close to the battle as you can, not as far away as you can. There's people that say, "I don't want to go through this pain." But you should say, "I want to be as close to that battle as I can get. I want to be the fighters. I want to be the ones, you know, that were here Friday night and here Saturday working and yet getting up and driving to Milwaukee for the rally. I want to be one of those that's involved. I want to give. I want to be part of that battle. I want to take chances. I want to go out and tell people about Christ. I want to get out of my comfort zone." The victorious song. The victorious song in Psalm 118:14. It says, "The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation." You have a song? I've been doing a 2-mile walk every morning. I leave about 7. There's got a street that nobody's on. And the other day I was just singing the hymns, and a guy came out of the bushes. I was so embarrassed. And he looked down. He didn't even look up, not one time. He didn't want to see what it was that would come up with a noise like that. Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous, all His ways are holy, and all His works. Oh, the songs of God. The songs of God. This should remind us that the sorrow that we suffer wouldn't be so much sorrow if we would acknowledge God's in charge and God's in control. Right? If you'd acknowledge that God's in charge, when you're going through sorrow, you're going through pain, and you say, God, you're in charge, and then the sorrow wouldn't be so bad. You've heard me say this before, but when we started out in the storefront with this church, and if someone had shown me a picture of 39 years later of where we would be, I wouldn't have worried about the other 38 years. You see? Because I know we're going to make it. But see, the Word of God is even better than that. But of course we're going to make it. Of course we're going to make it. We have to be careful. It's not easy to serve the Lord in this day and age. But it's easier now than during the tribulation. The victory over Satan. These people got the victory that we're talking about today because they were faithful unto death. Our victory over Satan is because we believe in Christ who was faithful unto death. Some of us just live in a rut. We never get out of it. We don't make life good for anybody. We're so proud of our possessions, of what we have, that we don't care about anybody else. We only care about our little possessions. We can be miserable. We don't try to encourage. Some people don't even try to encourage some of our college students because they don't want anything to ever interfere with their little life. And yet when they stand before Christ, they're going to have to stand before Christ and give an account for their little itsy bitsy selfishness. Now there's others in this church, there's no selfishness. They always give and they give and they give and they give. I tell you, the ones that give and give and give are going to be a lot more blessed in heaven for eternity than the old squeaky people that only care about themselves. Don't let your children be selfish. Make your children work, parents. Don't you come up and say, well, I had it hard when I was a kid. My kids aren't going to have that. That's the stupidest statement a parent ever made in the history of mankind. You make your kids know that life's not easy. Let them buy their own things a few times. Be careful. Be careful. The glories of song. The glories of song. We sing by faith, but they sing by fact. I believe God is much greater than our greatest imagination. I believe God is greater than if you were to think all night long about heaven. How many of you ever think about heaven? How many of you only think about if the Cubs or White Sox or Blackhawks are going to win? How many of you ever think about heaven and think how it's going to be? Did you ever go to bed at night and say, Lord, I'm going to pretend I'm up in heaven? We ought to try it. It does work. It does work. It'll put you to sleep. I had a lady came up to me yesterday at the rally in Milwaukee, and she says, you know, you wake me and my kids and husband up every morning on radio at 5:30. I said, ma'am, in all my life as being a pastor, you're the first person I ever said I woke them up. Most of them I put to sleep. That was thrilling, man. Linda said, why are you so excited? I said, I wake people up. What are you talking about? She just kind of looks at me sometimes, shakes her head, so I don't know how I married him. But worship's not about us. It's about God. Listen, we don't have dead music in our church, but it's music that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to have this song repeat the same word 35 times. We're just not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We want constantly improved music. And we're doing it. But we don't want ever, ever in our life to not sing to honor God. Music's not to be entertainment. We're not here for entertainment. We're here to glorify God. We're here to worship God. Let's look at point three. The only clean smoke. The only clean smoke. Now, this ought to prove to everybody how bad smoke is when you smoke, because no one can go in the throne of God when that smoke's in there. Now, it's not the same smoke, I understand. The only clean smoke. Revelation 15, 5 through 8. After that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven, was opened. Now, I want to just stop there. You know, the temple and tabernacle down here were a picture of what was in heaven. Always has been. Remember that. Always will be. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts came into the seven angels with the seven golden vials or bowls, full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no man, that means person, was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were filled. Wow. No one was able to enter. No one. Now, I want you to notice something. You're going to be well-dressed in heaven. You know, I get so tired of these churches, and they say, God doesn't care how you dress. Well, He does care how you dress in heaven, doesn't He? White linen represents the holiness, the chasteness of God with gold. I think we're going to be so shocked we find out in heaven we're not going to be wearing blue jeans and tennis shoes. The real Super Bowl, when God's wrath is poured upon the earth. We will never have ultimate victory till all sin is paid for. You say, but how about ours? But ours was under the blood. That's why all sin has to be paid for. All sin has to be paid for by death. If we take the death of Christ, then we only die once. If we don't take the death of Christ, we're going to die twice. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. If you're born twice, you die and you go to be with the Lord. If you're born only once, you die, you go to Gehenna, then Hades is cast into the lake of fire, second death. I'm only going to die once. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I was encouraged. I had a man come up to me yesterday at a rally. He had oxygen in him. He said, Pastor, I've had two open heart surgeries. I've had 15 stents in my body. He said, I have to have oxygen all the time. And he said, I've lived for many, many years. I said, what an encouragement. He said, I don't let it stop me. I go hunting with my wheelchair. He said, I do everything with a wheelchair and I don't let anything stop me. I said, God bless you. And then I said, you've got to torture yourself by going to Pastor Dan's church. He thought that was funny. Pastor Dan's doing a great job there. We have three cups to drink. Are there three cups that have been drunk? I don't think we do. The first cup Jesus took and drank it on the cross. Remember in the garden He said, can you drink this cup? And yes, I can drink it. And Peter couldn't, of course. That's the first one. This contains the sins of the world. The second cup is the cup of salvation. And you need to take that cup, because then you know you're going to heaven. The third cup contains the wrath of God. The three cups of the Bible. Most teachers believe that this vial or bowl is a shallow saucer associated with the temple, and it pours out quickly. The shallowness pictures how quickly divine judgments will come on the earth for those who refuse to drink the cup of salvation. Wow. The shallowness pictures how quickly the divine judgment will come. The temple smoke. The temple smoke. Do you ever wonder why no one could enter? Why? Now think about it. This is something you got to think. No one could enter the temple after that smoke came. God's going to pour out the last with no mercy. I think He didn't want a priest or anyone else to come in the temple to try to stop it. Can't stop it. It has to happen. God's showing long-suffering. He's showing mercy. Those of you watching
all through America and the Church Channel or WGN or around the world. You can be saved right now. Please, think about it. You can be saved. You can be saved. Now, the next verses I'm not going to read, you can read them on your own, Exodus 40 and 1 Kings 8. The fact that no one can enter the temple is nothing's going to delay the wrath. Nothing is going to delay the wrath. What a joy we can have through the blood of Christ. For right now, we can go boldly to the throne of grace. We can go into the Holy of Holies. We can go and approach God right now, which couldn't be done and can't be done at this reading that I just gave you. But now, we can go boldly to the throne of grace. Did you ever do it? Did you ever do it? Do you ever pray at night? You know, my wife and I pray together every night. You should. If you don't pray with your wife, at least pray by yourself. Do you pray? There's prayer. There's power. There's much prayer, much power. Much prayer, much power. You know, we took a huge chance going on WGN and coming up with the money. We had to pay in advance. And when Cindy Thomas gives me that monthly report, I'm about to die. I was getting on the plane. Worst time. Pastor, I have the monthly report. I'm going, oh boy, maybe the plane will crash. End it quickly. We came out in the black by $130. Wow. That's with paying GN. He said, that's not much. I know it's not much, but we came in the black. Praise God. Man, we're going to try it. We don't have much. What we got, we're going to do it. We had a couple people call. They said, I know you said not to send money, but I demand to send it. I couldn't believe it. Praise God. The wrath of God was poured out upon Christ. Do you see it? Well, this is the last Super Bowl, my dear friends. There will be no more. Well, I want to live in history. You're not going to live in history. The only thing you're going to live by is what you've done for Christ. You are not living in history. Richard Nixon's not living in history. Jimmy Carter's not going to live in history. Ronald Reagan's not going to live in history. No one's going to live in history except what we've done for Christ. Only what we've done for Christ. This life will soon be past. Only what we've done for Christ will last. One of our ladies told me the other day, she wrote that down and has it in her house. Y'all should write it down. This life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Because that's true. Man, you say, well, I want to live in history. I want them to put a plaque of my name, or name a building after me. It doesn't make a bit of difference, my friends, because it's all going to be destroyed. Wham! Just like that. Wham! And boy, I tell you what, when I get to heaven, I want God to say that He knows that I was faithful and I was obedient and I wasn't trying to do it my way. Man, I want to do it His way. Listen, I believe in, do you believe in counsel? I get counsel all the time. I called different board members before I bought the last house I bought. I wanted counsel. You should get counsel. Pastors should get counsel. We all should get counsel. But I don't want it because they'll tell me what I don't want to hear. Well, then you don't want counsel. You don't care about God. You care about yourself. But if you care about God, you're going to be blessed more with yourself. You don't get non-blessed by caring about God, right? Well, I want to show you this. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. That sin separates you from God, and you can't take one sin to heaven. You know, 1 John 5:13, these things have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you don't know it, you probably don't have it. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. You've got to be perfect. Any of you perfect? Anybody perfect? He says, I love you, but I hate your sin. How do you get to heaven? Who's perfect? Who's perfect? Nobody. This hand right here represents the Lord Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He, God, hath made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Look over at my right and your left, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. What's a gift? It's something you just receive. God looks upon you and me as righteous as He looks upon Christ. Pretty good deal, isn't it? God sees me and you in Christ without sin.
For more information about our ministry or additional resources, please visit victoryingrace.org or call 1-800-78-GRACE.